Just a little while ago, I started watching The Handmaid's Tale. It's a book that I read and loved many years ago, which always makes me a bit hesitant about watching TV adaptations. But some very good friends encouraged me to give it a try, and so I did, and I am very grateful. If you haven't watched it, it's a brilliant show, but it is often very hard to watch. It details the struggles of women living in a dystopic world where the American government was violently overthrown by a movement based on a deeply perverse interpretation of Puritan Christian ethics and theology. And the main character is one of the handmaids, a class of enslaved people whose required labor is to conceive and bear children. It's pretty awful. And the show follows her efforts along with those of many others to survive, to hold on to their humanity, and ultimately to escape, if not overthrow, the unjust regime. And I'm not going to give anything away, but to suffice it to say that they are persistent. Again and again and again for 5 seasons and counting. She and her allies throw themselves into dangerous plans that will help them or other enslaved people in Gilead find freedom and justice. And I think it has been a particularly powerful experience to be watching The Handmaid's Tale over this past month, during the same weeks that the women of Iran, along with their allies, have risen up to condemn the injustices of the Iranian regime and to demand their rights. These protests have been going on for 4 weeks now, ever since Mahsa Amini died in police custody after being arrested for violating the law regarding headscarves for women. And these protests have been met with increasing force by police. There are reports that over 200 people have been killed. And yet, again and again and again, the women and their allies are taking to the streets. One fictional world and one very real one, but both centered on strong, persistent women determined to get justice. And in both worlds, at least some of these women have found their strength through their faith in a God who loves them, who values them, who stands with them against their oppressors, even as those oppressors claim that God is on their side. And perhaps the widow in Jesus' story today would recognize herself in these faithful, persistent sisters whose prayers have grown feet and fists and tongues as they make their demands not only to God, but to judges and police officers and government officials and clerics who seek to silence them. Now, according to Luke, this parable of the persistent widow is a parable about the need to pray always and not lose heart. But I want to suggest that it is a parable not only about when to pray, but about how to pray. We tend to think of prayer as talking to God. In fact, mostly it's talking at God. At our best, we sit quietly and listen as well. But in fact, prayer can be bigger even than talking and listening. Saint Benedict taught his monks that work and prayer are interconnected. So interconnected, in fact, that prayer is work and work offered to God in obedience is prayer. When Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel was asked about the experience of marching from Selma to Montgomery in 1965 as part of that historic civil rights march, he is quoted as having said, "I felt my legs were praying." Sometimes our prayers don't just direct us to action. Sometimes our prayers are action. Now, this is a far cry from the thoughts and prayers response to tragedy and injustice that has come to feel so hollow, that has come to represent political inaction, that perhaps is an expression of our own general sense of helplessness in the face of terrible, terrible things. Not, mind you, that there is anything wrong with offering prayer. Quite the opposite, in fact. As people of faith, it is good and right that we turn to God in times of crisis, calling for God's intervention and for God's peace. But prayer is not some kind of magical thinking. Prayer does not manifest anything into the universe. And it does not convince God to do something that God didn't want to do. Let's be clear about who's in charge here. What prayer does do is remind us that God is with us and with those who are suffering. It roots the situation in the context of God's faithfulness and God's judgment. It helps us to name evil and to survive it. It calls us out of fear, out of despair, out of apathy, and into prophetic, loving action. It takes us out of our own heads and puts us back where God calls us to be, in the world God loves, so that we may pray always without losing heart, to knock on the judge's door for as long as it takes, to march in the streets for as long as it takes, to give food to the food banks, to write to the decision makers, to boycott the destructive companies, to choose the fair trade purchases, to limit your carbon footprint, to do it all for as long as it takes, as an offering and a sacrifice to God. Work and prayer, intertwined and mutually reinforcing, is what Jesus calls us to. It is both the fruit and the sign of the faith that he hopes the Son of Man will find still on earth when he comes. It was the shape of Jesus' own life, after all. Responsive to the suffering of those around him, unyielding to those who abused their power, and always sustained by and in participation with God. Jesus was so persistent that even death didn't mark the end of his labor. His work was his prayer, and his prayer was his work, directed to God who hears our cries and bears with us in our suffering, and who will bring justice quickly. Except that God doesn't seem to bring justice quickly. We have far too many examples of injustices that have continued for far too long to believe that in any easy, straightforward sort of way. And it must have been a challenge for Jesus' followers, first followers too, for they were no strangers to the persistent nature of injustice. But maybe our mistake, and maybe theirs too, is assuming that God will bring justice through the miraculous resolution of all our problems, a sort of holy snap of the fingers to make everything okay. This does not seem to be how God usually chooses to operate. Instead, God seems to want us to work with God, to prepare ourselves and our world for the lasting transformation of dwelling fully in the presence of God, for dwelling in what Jesus calls the kingdom of God. And from this perspective, God's response to our cries is the gift of strength and perseverance in the face of injustice, so that we might be the agents of the very change we seek. Jesus, God's anointed, God's beloved Son, was God's response to the cries of God's people. Jesus was God's own justice, made flesh on earth. The persistent widow, the imaginary women in The Handmaid's Tale, the very real women on the streets in Iran, these women are God's response to the cries of God's people. And God is with them in their work, which is their prayer. You, beloved child of God, member of the body of Christ, and agent of the Holy Spirit, you are God's response to the cries of God's people. And God is with you, now and always. May you be persistent in your work and prayer, and may justice come quickly.